Hey, it's so good to welcome you to Fields Church Online, and we are so pleased that you've tuned in for this message. No matter what's going on in your world right now, we pray that you come away feeling encouraged by this message.
Okay, if I'd like to invite Richard up, he is going to share the word with us. Are you ready? Have you got everything? Okay, let me just pray for Richard. Father, I just thank you for Richard and all the preparation that he will have put into this message. I pray that you would open our hearts to hear you and that you would speak through him. Amen.
Amen. Morning, church. You're all so far away. We're going to make the front row right there. And then I'm going to move this right up there. Scary, isn't it? Yeah, before I share what I'm going to share this morning, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 24. In light of what we've heard this morning with our Remembrance Sunday and all that's going on in our world, I just wanted to read this to you before I get into my message. Matthew 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And the heading in the next part, of just before the verse, says this: "The signs of the times and the end of the age." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive" — how many? Many, the Bible says. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." This is what I like in the New King James. It says, "And see that your heart is not troubled." I'll come back to that in a minute. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences and earthquakes in various places." Have we seen that around our world over the last — and I think it's escalating the more we go on, the closer we get to the end. "All these things are the beginning of sorrows." So it's the beginning of something. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound." And we see lawlessness just abounding everywhere. You know, when I came back to the country 26 years ago, I couldn't believe at the state of, you know, the violence in our nation. And it's just getting worse, isn't it? It all sounds bad, but this is the good news. Is that all right? Can we — got to think about these things and think about where we are. And it says, "The love of many will grow cold." We need to stay on fire for Jesus, on fire for him. "But he who endures to the end will be saved." We've got to endure a little bit. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." But the end of verse 6, it says, "See that you are not troubled." We live in troubling times. And you know, just thinking about what I've just read, we need to be so close to God in these end times, in these last days, I think, that we're in. You know, there's going to come a time — we just heard about the Jesus going to the cross — but there's going to come a time when Jesus will come back for his bride. I believe the rapture of the church — people will be raptured, the church will be raptured. There'll be 7 years of tribulation, and then Jesus is going to come back to the earth with his saints. How many saints have we got in the room here? That's you. And do you know what's going to happen? The devil is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Isn't that good news? And Jesus is going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. And we're going to rule with him. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. They think that that's just not literal, that there's not the literal reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And that's why I'm sharing and teaching what I'm sharing. We need to look at our Bibles in a fresh way. I believe this is truth. There's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot being said in our world that isn't true. We've got to stay close to the truth. We've got to devour this, feed on it every single day. Why? Because some people's hearts will be troubled. Some people will fall away. The Bible says that in the end times, men's hearts are going to fail. That's what the Bible says. Through fear, through anxiety. And there's a lot of fear and stress and anxiety in our world. But we've got to look up. Look up, church. Come on, Jesus is going to come for a bride. He's not coming for Fields Church or the Anglican Church or the Baptist. He's coming for one church. We've got to be so united in these days. Amen? Hope that doesn't trouble you. It should excite us. We shouldn't be troubled and worried about these things. Jesus said they're going to happen, and they're happening right now. But we've got to preach the gospel, and then the end will come. Amen? Can we say amen to that? Do you still love me? Sure? Got to love me. I'm the pastor. Got to love everyone. That's right. Now, love Jesus more. Love your pastor, but love Jesus more. Is that all right? Okay. We're in a message titled The Godhead. And again, when we read what I think is literal, we should take this literal. The things that are allegorical, let's take them allegorical. Let's pray. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to go as far as I can and do something different at the end. I'll ask the band to come up, and we're going to have a time of just ministry, just worshiping God, just glorifying him, glorifying Jesus. That's why we're here. You know, we're not just here to glorify Jesus. We're here to reach a lost world out there. People that don't know Jesus, don't know this good news. They're troubled and they don't know my... I just got to give this testimony because it's very powerful. My son came over to sort our computer out. I'll pray in a minute. And it was just so funny. He and his wife have backslidden. They were part of our church. They met in the church and things happened. And they felt they saw too much and heard too much. And they backslid. My son came over to fix Esther's computer or set it up. And he said, oh, I've just been at home and you've got to watch this guy. I think his name is Gary Hamrick. He's a preacher in America. And he gave a message about the war in Israel and so on. And then he said, and you've got to listen to another thing as well. There was a guy who was the son of the founder of Hamas, who's now become a Christian. And my son, he's backslidden, and he's saying, you need to watch this. He's been watching this at home. So my thought is that he's watching what's going on in the world out there, and then someone shares this message with him, and he's listening to it. Why? Because he's probably afraid. He's probably afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Jesus is with us. Always. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is with us always. So pray for your loved ones who are backslidden. Not serving God anymore. Just pray for them. Keep thanking God that people are going to come across their path and just love, you know, bring them back to Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. The Bible says where lawlessness abounds, grace will abound the more. Thank you, Father. I believe we're in the end moments, the end times, and if that's tomorrow, then we're going to serve Jesus. If it's 100 years, we're going to serve Jesus. If it's 1,000 years, we're going to continue to serve Jesus and love Jesus and turn people to Jesus. As long as we've got breath in our bodies, that's our role, to minister to those outside of these four walls. You know, we come to church on a Sunday. Church isn't just about Sunday. It's our whole life. It's every day of the week. And we come here to worship. We come here to listen to a message, to fellowship, to gather, to pray together, to pray for one another. And then we go out into our world. That's where the church needs to be, out into the world, with our life groups, in our communities, reaching people for Jesus. And Lord, as I just stand here today, I thank you for your word, that your word is truth and life. It brings life. I thank you, Father, as I minister this morning, I thank you that every heart is open, every mind is open to understand the word of God, to take it into their heart. The word is like a seed. The heart is the soil. I thank you that it's going to produce a harvest in people's lives so that they can stand strong in these end times and be strong and be strong soldiers for Jesus as we take this world by force. But I take it through a storm, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And if you love the Lord, you'll say amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 1. We're in this series, The Godhead. Genesis 1, we're going to go to verse 6. You know what? We're talking about the Godhead. We are going to have other people come up to share over the next few weeks. And I just can't get away from creation. I just can't. It just amazes me. And the deeper I look, and don't just read the words on a page. Don't just read them and say, oh, that's very nice. Oh, yeah, God created the heavens and the earth. He created me. He created all the animals. How lovely. How lovely. Look a little deeper. Dig into the word so that you can be fed. And you can be, how many of you are hungry for the word? Come on. You know, don't pick your Bible up next Sunday. Read it every day. Because there's life in here. You want to know how to live? Just read your Bible. Want to know how marriage works? Read your Bible. Bring up kids? Read your Bible. I hope I'm preaching to the right crowd today. If I'm not, I could go somewhere else. I could. No, you're a lovely bunch. I love you. Turn to your neighbor and say, the pastor loves you. Because he just said so. Okay, you there yet? Look at this. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it, look at that, let it divide the waters from the waters. That's interesting, isn't it? Let it divide the waters from the waters. Next verse. Thus God made the firmament, look at that, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So God's dividing these waters above and under the firmament. And God called the firmament, what did he call the firmament? Heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Big dispute about what a day is. And I explained some of that a couple of weeks ago about a day. I believe it's a 24-hour period. That's my take on it. Some people might think it's 100 years, 1,000 years. Does it really matter? I believe it really matters. We need to take God at his word. And where it means the literal word of God, I believe we need to see it as literal. This is the problem. Like I just explained, Jesus is coming back. There are some Christians that might not believe that. Jesus is going to come and rule for 1,000 years. A lot of denominations don't teach that and don't believe that. I believe that. We've got to trust in the literal word of God. Is Jesus coming back? Are we really sure of that? Why? Why? Because the word of God tells us, doesn't it? That he's coming back for a glorious bride. Tell your neighbor you're glorious. Go get up and give someone a high five and say, you're amazing. No one's getting up. Look, one person's getting up. Now, if we look at that word firmament, the Hebrew is raka. Say that, raka. That's a nice word, isn't it? The Strong's Lexicon describes that as this. There's a lot of explaining in this, a lot of explanative, what's the word I'm looking for? Descriptive words in this. Look at that. Expanse. So the firmament is an expanse. It also means to stamp, to hammer. It means to spread out. It also means the vault of heaven. The vault of heaven. So look at this. Supporting waters, where? Above, solid like a dome. Okay. Anyone ever heard this explained to them before about this dome? What is that? I'm sorry it's all stretched out like that. Can you sort of read that? I'm not sort of clever at these things. I put pictures up and they look all a little bit distorted. Okay. It says that God divided the waters under the firmament or dome from the waters above the firmament. You know, I saw a video years ago of a Christian scientist, and he explained the firmament like this. And this was it's a theory. Right? We can't see this in our Bibles, but it's a theory. There was a protective dome surrounding the earth covered by water that the Lord separated in Genesis 1, verse 7. So we point to the slide. So there's our world. Oh, look, I've got a little pointer. Let me see if it will work. I've got to find it now. It goes too quick. So there's the earth, right? And God divided the waters below and above, right? And it says their harmful radiation was blocked. So there's like this vapor canopy. This is what he explained, surrounding the earth. So it's possible that the earth had a greenhouse effect. So the atmosphere of the earth might possibly have been very dense, unlike the earth's atmosphere is today. Probably attributing to man's longevity, because Noah was 600 years old. He was 500 years old before he started having children. I mean, that blows my mind. I'm getting on in years, and the thought of having newborn babies at my age, and I'm not 500. Not yet, anyway. I'm not 500. Oh, that scares me. So mums, I applaud you. Come on, let's applaud the mums. There's some out there nursing their babies. It's hard work bringing up kids, isn't it? And look at this. He also explained that this would be a perfect environment for dinosaurs to exist because the air could have been that much more dense. They've got big lungs, haven't they? That's what we think. Did you know that the word dinosaur only was first used in 1841? Did you know that? That's the first time it was mentioned. By Richard Owen. Look that up. Go to Dr. Google and it'll tell you what's what. You know, they were called dragons before this. Did you know that? So the Bible shows that there was no rain while this canopy or dome was there. So just take these things that I'm sharing with you right now. Again, this was a theory. So plants could have been watered by the mist, like precipitation. You know, the water rises and then mist rises and then it turns into rain, doesn't it? Or like mist. So this was before the flood. So let's have a look at that and see if there's a verse that supports this. So keep that picture in your mind. Let's have a look at Genesis 2:5. It says, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Verse 7, look at that, here we go, 6. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So the Bible tells us that there was no rain on the earth. So I think this dome was surrounded the earth, and there were waters, remember that, there were waters below and there were waters where? Above, right? That's what the Bible tells us. Right, so this is how the earth could have been before the flood. It wasn't until the flood came that the heavens opened, the great deep opened, and rain came on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Let's see if there's a verse in the Bible that tells us that. Genesis 7:4. Are you with me so far? No one's with me so far. Let's ask some people over here. Are you with me so far? Yes. Lovely. Are you with me here so far? Yes. Lovely. That's good. If I ask you a question, what should you say, Sabian? Give an answer. That's it. Come on, I feel alone up here sometimes. Don't you feel sorry for me? Let's have a look at Genesis 7, verse 4. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Look at that. And I will destroy from the face of the earth, you say it. What does it say? All living things that I have made. Who made them? God made them. This is what we got to hammer home. You know, our Bibles, the Word of God is being attacked like never before. And we got to stand on the truth. Otherwise, what have we got to stand on if we really don't believe this? If we believe this is just a book of fairy stories. This isn't like any other book. This book has life within it. How did you get saved? How did some of you get saved? Did anyone hear the gospel and then got saved? Anybody? Put your hands up. That's great. Oh, there's four or five people that did that. Why is that? Because there's power in the word, isn't there? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's how we got saved. Heard the word of God, believed it, believed in Jesus and got saved. And we're all sitting here all happy. Well, at least I think you're happy. Be happy. Tell your neighbor, be happy. He's talking to you. So you've got to remember that near the end of the sermon, right? All living things that I have made, God destroyed. That seems quite harsh, doesn't it? And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, verse 11b, the 17th day of the month, on that day, what does it say? All the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven, what do we call heaven? The firmament. Is that right? The firmament. So the windows of heaven were opened and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So the earth sees rain for the first time. Could the windows of heaven that were opened have come from the firmament, the waters that God divided? It doesn't say that he got rid of them, that they disappeared. It said that he divided them. When you divide something in half, you still got two halves, haven't you? Is that right? Does that make sense? So God is, why has he divided the rain? Why has he divided these waters above and beneath? Why is that? Because he's going to need that when the flood comes. Because there's going to be an awful lot of water that's needed to flood the earth. And some scientists believe and argue that that can't be true. You'd need a lot of rain to do that. So God has divided these waters from above and from above and below. Right. I'm going to read verse 7 for you again. Let me see if I can get that back there. There it is. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So we have the waters under the firmament and the waters above. So when the windows of heaven were opened, the waters broke up from beneath. With me for a second. God creates the heavens and the earth and puts this protective dome around the earth with the water above and water beneath. The people of the earth are, they're all hundreds of years old, aren't they? If you read the account of Noah, they're all hundreds of years old. So he had children at 500. The flood came when he was 600, so his sons were at least 100 years old, weren't they, at the time. It's possible this atmosphere or dense air was beneficial to not only the humans, but the animals, including the dinosaurs as well. The waters of the great deep open up, the rain falls from heaven, the earth is flooded. The protective dome is gone. The dinosaurs, along with every living thing on the earth, dies off. Did we see a passage of scripture earlier on where it says everything died? Is that right? You know, there were some that only believed that there was a partial flood, that there wasn't a worldwide flood. And yet ancient civilizations show drawings of these floods all around the earth, everywhere. The greenhouse effect is no more. Man's years are now reduced to 120. That beautiful atmosphere, that dense atmosphere is gone. And it must have taken a lot of water to flood the earth. That's where the waters that God divided came from. Who remembers in Genesis 1? Who can remember, or just go in your Bible and have a quick look for me. Genesis 1, the first couple of verses, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Was the earth just water at some time? Just water. Doesn't say he was floating above the earth, although he was above planet earth. Are you with me? Are you sort of following where I'm coming from? The waters probably covered the whole earth. These are the waters that God divided, which were under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament. And I know this is a lot to take in. Study this for yourself. Don't believe a word I say. Don't just take anything anyone says behind a pulpit as truth. Discover truth for yourself. Please. You need to study, Pastor, because you're a pastor. You need to know what you're talking about. But this is for all of us. Aren't you glad that this Bible, people died to give us. Did you know that? This Bible, so that we could read it in English. Because there was a lot of illiteracy in the world, right? And people went to church, and because they can't read and write, they've got to believe what the man of God has got to say. They've got to trust that that's the case. People have died for this. Let's have a look at the words of Jesus to confirm about the flood. Some people say there wasn't a worldwide flood. It was just partial. Let's have a look at that. Luke 17. I am going to get there. It's a lovely world. Look. Lovely. Luke 17, 26. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given into marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. That's Jesus. So people who are saying it was only a partial flood, it destroyed everything on the earth. It destroyed all life, all the animals, the dinosaurs, apart from Noah and his family. Can we see that in the Bible? That only eight were saved. Let's have a look at that. 1 Peter 3:20. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Like I say, we have evidence of a great flood from civilizations all around the world. And you know, this question, I just read the other week, and I've been reading this for quite a while now, that newspaper articles said that they know for sure how the dinosaurs were extinct. They reckon that a big asteroid came and hit the Earth, and the Earth and the dinosaurs all died out. That's what they say. I don't quite believe that, because an asteroid could hit one part of something totally different. Because I can't understand how an asteroid could hit one part of the Earth and all the dinosaurs die. I can't sort of get that. It really doesn't ring true for me. And this morning I was just reading something and I thought, you know what? I read this newspaper article from the Daily Express on May the 6th, 2021, and it says fossils of fish have apparently been found on Mount Everest. How did they get there? And that's not the only place. They reckon even the Grand Canyon, that there's all the walls that you see where they reckon that the flood took all that away. And that happened when the flood came. And they found dinosaurs with fish and animals and everything, birds and all those kinds of things on high mountains. How could that be? Unless there was a worldwide flood. You know, then God brings forth the earth after the flood. We see plants and herbs and trees that produce fruit 6,000 years later, producing after their kind. You know, God is a God of abundance. I just want to share this verse with you. Genesis 1:29, it says, "And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food." We can see that God started creating these things. The earth brought through forth a everyone. Amen. The earth at the time was a vegetarian, and all the vegetarians said, amen. And it's only after the flood that God said, you can eat meat. Do you want to see that? Genesis 9, verse 3, ERV, some don't want to see it. "In the past, I gave you the green plants to eat. Now every animal will also be food for you. I give you everything on earth. It is yours." Can I have the band come up, please? The most important thing I wanted to share with you today is really seeing the Bible for what it is and trusting what God says is true. And for us to, let's just close our eyes for a moment. I'm just going to ask the band to come up. They're going to play this last song in a moment. Because the Word of God is under such attack, How are we going to defend the word of God? I know God can defend it all on his own, but we need to give an account for what we believe. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And when we start learning truth and understanding truth, when we get the knowledge of the truth, we need the wisdom to then apply that truth in our lives as we live out our days on the earth. And I believe the time is really, really short. And I believe Jesus is going to come back soon. And I believe Christians need to be ready for his return. That's a literal event that's going to happen, literally, and we need to be ready. As I was worshiping this morning, just thinking about the message, thinking about people, thinking about people's lives, where we are. I don't know how you came into this building this morning. Maybe it feels like you've got the world on your shoulders, and maybe you just feel burdened. And you need a touch from God this morning. You know, the Bible talks about praise as a weapon of our warfare. Do you know that? Praise is a weapon of our warfare. We can use praise as a weapon to strengthen us, to fire us up, to get us through dark times. And what I'd like us to do this morning is, I just feel people need ministering to. If you can stand, let's stand. We're going to sing this song. It's a song about Jesus. We're going to lift his name up. And we got a prayer team. We've got a prayer team here this morning. Can you just show me your hands? Show me where you are. If you can come forward and just sit in the front here or stand in the front, get your lanyards on. We got a prayer team here this morning. I'm here to pray. And I believe there are many that just need a touch from God this morning. They just need a breakthrough in their life. And if you can stand, let's stand. Let's sing this song. And if you need prayer of any kind, either come to the front or put your hand up and someone will come to where you are. We'll be looking out for you. And let's just do that. Let's just minister to the Lord first of all. And then I believe the Lord will minister to us, if that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Just come forward. I believe there's great needs in this place, and we should always give opportunity where we can just come and pray with one another. Maybe you're too embarrassed to come to the front. Just slip your hand up and someone will come stand next to you and pray for you. Is that you this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Just look around you and see if there's any hands raised so you can pray with people. Thank you, Father. Jesus. If you don't need prayer, just stand or sit quietly, and just for a few moments, let's just allow God to do what he needs to do this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Can members of the prayer team to come forward, please? I know you're not on today, but anyone in the prayer team, just come forward for me. That's great. Just everyone, just come forward. That's it. People here need some prayer. That's pray for them.